Okay, so reading from Exodus 29 first, from verse 1. This is what you are to do to consecrate them, so that they may serve me as priests. Take a young bull and two rams without defect, and from fine wheat flour without yeast make bread and cakes mixed with oil, and wafers spread with oil. Put them in a basket and present them in it, along with the bull and the two rams. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. Take the garments and dress Aaron with the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself and the breastpiece. Fasten the ephod on him by its skillfully woven waistband. Put the turban on his head and attach the sacred diadem to the turban. Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and put headbands on them. Then tie sashes on Aaron and his sons. The priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. In this way you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. Bring the bull to the front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it in the Lord's presence at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour out the rest of it at the base of the altar. Then take all the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver, and both kidneys with the fat on them, and burn them on the altar. But burn the bull's flesh and its hide and its offal outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Take one of the rams, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it, and take the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides. Cut the ram into pieces, and wash the inner parts and the legs, putting them with the head and the other pieces. Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head, slaughter it, take some of its blood, and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then sprinkle blood against the altar on all sides. And take some of the blood on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments, and on his sons and their garments. Then he and his sons and their garments will be consecrated. So if you want to flick over then to 1 Peter, keep your finger in Exodus. We'll jump back there in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 4 down to verse 9. So it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Okay, so if you want to flick back to Exodus, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a look through these passages together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you have recorded these words for us, that we can read them at our leisure, that we can read them at home, we can read them together here. But Lord, we pray for your help, because we need your spirit to help us understand these things, to help us understand your will, your ways, your mind, your heart. So we pray for your spirit now, that he would come and he would help us as we look at your word together. So Lord, we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So as much as we may not like the idea, we need middlemen. If we need to buy our groceries, we're probably not going to go from farm to farm, buying veg in one place, milk and eggs in another place, meat in another place, although that sounds all very cool and organic. We'll probably just go to Super Value or Lidl, go to our middlemen there, or maybe ask our middlemen to come to us if we use Tesco delivery. If we want to get in contact with a CEO of a company or a TD, we may need to go through a middleman or woman to gain access to them. There'll probably be a secretary or a PA who's in place filtering what comes in and managing their busy lives. Maybe to get tickets to a GA match in Croke Park or to move up the ladder at work, it's all about who we know. We need a middleman to get us where we're wanting to go, to get those tickets or to get that promotion. There needs to be someone in place speaking on our behalf. Well, in the Bible, there were middlemen. There were ones who mediated between God and the people. God was so holy that people couldn't approach him. People were unholy, they were sinful. But because of this, there was this gap. They couldn't approach God. So there needed to be a group or people who could come before God and act as representatives or intermediaries for the people. And these were the priests. These were the ones who would come before God, serving him on behalf of the people. So as we're continuing our series in Exodus, the chapter that we've looked at today, chapter 29, is all about the consecration or ordination of the priests. We've previously heard about the clothes that were made for them, the priests the clothes that they were commanded to wear for their service in the tabernacle. And now that they're dressed, now that they're ready, it's time for them to be consecrated for service. But before we look at Exodus 29 and some of the things that happened in this ceremony, I want to mention just briefly something that was mentioned in Exodus 19. Listen to these words from Exodus 19. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So this isn't long after the people have been rescued by God from the land of Egypt. They've been rescued by him. They're treasured by God as they obey him. But he has a purpose for this people. He didn't rescue them just to get rid of them from Egypt and now you can just relax in the desert for a while. He brought them out for a purpose to serve him. He rescues them and he says that you're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So in general terms, there was this priesthood of the nation of Israel. They were set apart as priests. They were to serve and obey God, and they were to be a light to the nations. So the Israelites were being brought out of the nations, so they were rescued from Egypt, but they were being set apart, put to one side. They were different from the nations, and they were brought into the service of God. So now to gain access to God, first of all, you needed to become an Israelite. So sometimes when we think about priests, it's helpful to think about access. So in a general sense, the whole nation acted as priests because it was only through becoming an Israelite that you could have access to God. Think about the access that people were scrambling to get for the European Union after the Brexit vote in the UK. As far as I heard, the passport applications in the Belfast post office were gone weeks after the vote. People wanted access to the EU, and now that Brexit was happening, that was going to be taken away from them. To have access to the EU, you needed to be a citizen of the EU country, one of the EU countries. So to have access to God in the Old Testament, you needed to be a citizen of the people of Israel. So as a nation in general, they acted as a priesthood for access to God. But more specifically, as we look at this chapter in 29, even if you manage to get your Israelite passport, and even when you can freely cross the border into their nation, not everyone in Israel had the same access to God. We've heard about the tabernacle being built and the different sections to it, but this was a really restricted place that you couldn't just wander in, you couldn't just say hi to God. There were restricted access, and it was the priesthood of Aaron and his sons who had the greater access, because they were the ones who were going to serve as priests in the tabernacle. They had greater access to the presence of God, with the high priest having the greatest access. They were ones who would serve in the tabernacle, keeping the lamp lit, keeping the bread fresh, keeping the sacrifices going, keeping the incense burning. They were managing what was happening in the tabernacle, but it was only these priests who were allowed to do so. For a holy God to dwell among an unholy people, these different rituals and parts of the service needed to keep happening because of sin. They were the ones who would mediate between God and the people. An intermediary was needed because of sin. People could not freely approach God, because if they did, they'd die. So the priests needed to intercede for them. Think about it in maybe a legal context today. Maybe you get a letter in the post and you're summoned to court. You're being accused of something that you say you didn't do. Do you go to court and say, I'll represent myself, I think I'm good enough? Well, if you're a lawyer, maybe you can do that. But I'll say, I'll represent myself, I'll speak on my own behalf, and maybe I can get out of this. No, if we're thinking in our right minds, we want legal counsel to help us. We need someone speaking on our behalf who's trained in that profession, who knows the ways of the court, and who can speak for us and be our representative before the judge. And the priests were serving God and serving the people in the tabernacle. They were representatives for the people in Israel. They were set apart to serve, and they had a really special role. Day after day, week after week, year after year, they were consecrated to the service. And that's where we come to in this passage, Exodus 29. Consecrate really means just to dedicate something to a sacred purpose. They were being consecrated to the Lord's service, a purpose of serving God and serving the people. And we see this ceremony in which they were dedicated and consecrated as priests. And there were a number of aspects involved in the ceremony. Look in verse 4, first of all. Then bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. First step, washed with water. They needed to be washed. Sin is often pictured as dirt or defilement, and this water was a ceremonial purification for them. Because of the sin and the dirt in their lives, this water was washing that away to purify and cleanse the priests. They were washed with water. Then after they were washed, they were clothed with the priestly garments. These garments that have been described, the various parts of the tunic and the robe and the breastplate and the turban, these were the clothes that were required for service, because it was a dangerous place to serve in the tabernacle. They needed these clothes to be fit for service. So they were washed, they were clothed, and they were anointed with oil, poured onto their heads, running down through their beards. I don't know if I'd like oil running down through my beard. But this was an anointing oil, a special oil that was used. An oil was a symbol in the Old Testament which symbolized the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a sign that the Holy Spirit would be with them and helping them in this ministry for God. So that's anointing with oil in verse 7. The next part in verses 10 to 41, pretty much the rest, the big chunk of this chapter, is dedicated to the sacrifices and offerings that they're to make. Various sacrifices made in the ceremony, which we can see in the chapter. There's sin offering, there's bulls, there's goats, there's food offerings, there's wave offerings. And sacrifice was needed because of sin. The priests needed to deal with their sin before they could enter into this priesthood. Before they could become priests, they had to be washed, clothed with these garments, anointed with oil, and their sins had to be covered and dealt with by sacrifice. The last little thing that we read was that they were marked with blood. There's this very strange part in verse 20. Look at verse 20. So they've taken a ram and they say, slaughter it, take some of its blood and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. So if oil is one thing, blood is a whole different story. They had to put blood on their right lobe, on their right thumb and their right big toe. It's kind of gruesome, but this is a symbol that they're being marked from head to toe, completely consecrated, marked by blood, totally dedicated and set apart for service of God. The Bible tells us about how nearly everything needs to be cleansed with blood. So in a way, this blood was cleansing them ceremonially from their sin. As one writer puts it, the blood was a token reminder that they must listen to God's word, they must do God's work, and they must walk in God's ways. Ears, thumbs, and toes. From head to toe, they're consecrated for service of God. They were washed, they were clothed, they're anointed, covered by sacrifice, sprinkled with blood. The priests were ready for service. This was the inauguration of their event. I don't know if you've ever been to an inauguration of a new ship or a building. There's this funny tradition, I don't know where it comes from, where they smash a bottle against a boat. I don't know if that's only in the movies or... But there's these different ceremonies that people have that take place, and this was a ceremony, inauguration of the priesthood of Aaron, so that the people could become closer to God, so that they could serve God. And it was because of sin that they couldn't approach. Sin had to be dealt with. Sin had to be accounted for. And now they were beginning this amazing, new, exciting service in the tabernacle. And it was day after day. It was daily ministry. At the very end of this chapter, look at verse 38. We see it says, this is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. Two lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives, and a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. This was an ongoing process. This was the first day, their inaugural event. But as a nation of priests, as these specific people, the priests of Aaron, they fell short as priests. They started into this work, but they weren't obedient to God as a nation. They didn't serve him fully. Not even the priests who had all this amazing ceremony conducted for them. Not even the priests could fulfill their roles. They themselves were sinful. They had to continue offering sacrifices for themselves. And the sacrifices they offered, well, they were actually unable to even properly deal with sin. They were unable to serve God fully, atone for the sin of the people, or to perfectly be a light to the nations around them. A better priest was needed. Jesus. Jesus came not only as the Son of God, not only as the King, as the Messiah, as God's chosen ruler, but he came as priest. Hebrews explains it like this. It says, such a high priest, that's Jesus, truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Jesus was appointed by God as a priest, as a high priest forever. And Jesus, when he came, he perfectly fulfilled what the nation of Israel could never do. They could never continue making these sacrifices. They could never truly deal with sin. They could never bring the people close to God. Access to God was still restricted. But it was through Jesus' perfect sacrifice, not of the best lamb in the world, not even of the best human that there was, but Jesus himself, who was man, who was God himself, sacrificed himself once for all, and that was enough to deal with sin. He once and for all has dealt with sin, and the way to God has been opened through faith in Jesus. That access that people are dying to get with God, that access that in general terms you had to be an Israelite, and then more specific terms you had to be a priest to enter the inner courts of the tabernacle. Now this access has been flung freely open to anybody who'll come through faith in Jesus. Access that the nations couldn't even dream of. Even the people of Israel couldn't even think about. Even the priests couldn't even imagine. This access to God is amazing, and it's open. All people from anywhere, no matter what your background is, can come to God through Jesus, the perfect, permanent priest. And his priesthood is not going to end. The priesthood of Aaron was faulty in a way, well, because they kept dying. Year after year, they'd go on, and then someone else would die, and then they'd have to have another inauguration, and then they have to consecrate those priests, and then those priests would die, and then they have to consecrate more priests, and then those priests would die. But Jesus, because he lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Access to God is unlimited and always open. It's never closed. So, no more need for priests, right? Jesus is the priest to bring us to God, so we don't need priests or sacrifices or service. Well, not quite. This imagery of priesthood is used by Peter from that reading we had at the start to speak of this of the church. Listen to these last two verses in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." As God's people today, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There's this phrase, the priesthood of all believers. All believers are priests through faith in Jesus. Remember this ordination ceremony that these priests went through? Our ordination maybe doesn't look as extravagant on the outside. Maybe sometimes it's a slower process. Maybe sometimes it's an instant process in us. But our ordination happens as soon as we come to faith in Jesus. Think about those different steps that the priests went through. They were washed with water. we're cleansed from our sin through what Jesus has done. Maybe this reminds us of our baptism. Now, baptism is just a symbol of what is an inner reality. It says in Titus, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. We've been washed by Jesus. We've been washed. That imagery of sin as dirt and muck and defilement has been dealt with. We've been washed clean by Jesus. What about the clothing? Those garments that the priests had to put on. Through faith in Jesus, we've been clothed with righteousness. We've got Jesus' robes. We've got his clothes. His perfect robes that he wore, that he has. He's given them to us, and we wear them to cover our sinfulness. And his righteousness shines through from us. What about the oil? This oil which symbolized the Holy Spirit now is not just a symbol. We as God's people have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. He brings about new birth in us. And in fact, he dwells inside us. God's Spirit, not just a symbol or a picture that the Holy Spirit would be with us, but this tabernacle where God came to dwell, God's presence now lives inside us, making us holy and giving us power to live and serve Jesus. What about sacrifice? Our sins have been covered by Jesus' sacrifice. Sin dealt with, God's anger and punishment against our sin taken by Jesus. For those trusting in him, there's no condemnation, no guilt, no punishment to come. And we're people who are marked with blood. Our conscience, our hearts are sprinkled with blood so that we would hear his word, do his work, and walk in his ways. We're washed, we're clothed, we're anointed, we're forgiven, we're marked by blood, and we're ready for service. We're ready, we're consecrated as priests to serve God. Well, what does our ministry look like? What sort of sacrifices do we offer? Peter offers some guidance for living for God in the same letter where he talks about us as being royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So there's all these various ways that we can serve. But I want to pick up on something that Peter mentions in verse 10 that says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, it might be tempting, as we think about this ordination ceremony, to think about, well, in the church today, we have priests who are set apart, who they're going to be the ones who are going to do the holy service. They're the ones who are going to do God's work. And all the rest of us will do the normal things. We'll do the normal jobs, and we'll come to church every week. But that's totally upside down to think about it that way. As God's people, we're all called to be priests. We're all called to serve in ministry. It might be helpful to take 2 minutes just to think, well, what is my ministry? What is our ministry here together as a church? I don't know about you, but as a husband, I have a ministry from God to my wife, to love her, serve her, care for her. And maybe one day when we have children, we'll have a ministry together to serve them, raise them, care for them. As an assistant pastor, I have a ministry from God to the church here in Westside. Maybe it's teaching the Bible, helping with youth groups, helping in certain ways. As an employee at Amazon, I have a ministry from God to my colleagues, to my customers, to be a worker who has integrity, who stands for what is right, who speaks of Jesus when he can, and who treats people with dignity and respect. Those are some of the ministries that God has given to me. There's a writer who wrote about what Luther spoke about. This idea of the priesthood of all believers was one of those principles of the Reformation. They say that when Luther referred to the priesthood of all believers, he was maintaining that the ploughboy and the milkmaid could do priestly work. In fact, the ploughing and the milking was priestly work. So there was no hierarchy where the priesthood was a vocation and milking the cow was not. Both were tasks that God called his followers to do, each according to their gifts. So what are your ministries? How many here care for parents or for children? How many are married? How many here are involved in Westside and want to serve the people of Bandon and share the gospel with them? Who is a teacher, a plumber, a doctor, a farmer, a business owner, a neighbor? Ministering to students, customers, patients, colleagues, friends. Our ministry together here in Bandon, in Westside, is to be a people loving each other and holding out the good news of Jesus to those around us. But that's actually something that we mostly do when we're not together. We mostly do our ministries when we're not here on a Sunday morning. The majority of our ministry is Monday to Saturday, whenever you're not asleep. That's when our ministry takes place. And here together we come and we do ministry together in the church. And what we do to serve God is so important. It's not unimportant to him. We use our gifts, and maybe even we can change the language that we use. Maybe it might sound a little bit awkward, but we can ask each other, how's your ministry going? What are you doing this week? How are you serving God? It may not be glamorous. Or even if it seems glamorous, I'm sure the glamour will wear off after a while. The priests in Israel may have been so excited at the start of this inauguration, the day of their ordination, but there was a daily service, day after day. I'm sure on day 3,422, things were tough for the priests. Another sacrifice, another day, another slog. It's hard work. No one really encouraged me today about my sacrificing. But in obedience, they kept going. Day after day. And we are to keep going. Serving with the gifts that God has given to us. Serving in the ministry that God has placed us in. Maybe you're struggling to think, I don't know what God has called me to do. I don't know what my ministry is. Well, talk to someone. Ask someone to talk with you, pray with you. One thing for sure is that our ministry together and for all Christians is to declare the praises of God in all that we do, speaking for him, standing for him, and living for him. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing calling that you have on our lives. This amazing calling that you have called us to be priests as ones who would come to serve you. Ones who can draw near to you, that your very presence would come and dwell within us. And Lord, you've called us to be people who hold out your message to others. To act as people who are drawing other people to you. And Lord, we pray for help to know how you want us to serve. We pray that you'd give us confidence in the areas that you've placed us. Give us courage to speak. Give us energy to keep going, serving you. We thank you for this amazing privilege that you would use us in your service. And Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our great high priest. Amen.